This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. First, the good news. Cheers for the 440-plus events in 175 countries held to mark October 24th as the International Day of Climate Actions, whose goal is to create public awareness and urge leaders to commit to policies that will lower global levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide. Some scientists say 350 parts per million is the safe limit for carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Climate change can have disproportionate effects on women, especially those in rural areas of developing countries. These women depend heavily on natural resources such as water for their security. Drought, uncertain rainfall, and deforestation, which may all potentially be linked to climate change, restrict their access to water, threatening these women's livelihoods. Many of the events taking place globally and nationally have been planned by women, some highlighting women's role in this movement. Here is a sampling of the events in the United States and Canada. United Methodist Women are focusing on the Christian response to climate change from a women's perspective at their annual gathering in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. New Mexico Interfaith in Power and Light is having a 3.5-mile healing walk in Albuquerque along the Rio Grande Bosque. This was organized by Joan Brown. Fill the Hill is a mass rally on Parliament Hill in Ottawa, Ontario, organized by a young woman, Graysen Johnson. Sisters on the Planet, a film about the impact of climate change on women in the developing world, will be screened on November 4th in Columbia, Missouri. This event is co-sponsored by Oxfam and the League of Women Voters. More news to cheer this week. Two female aid workers were freed unharmed on October 18th after being held captive for 107 days in Darfur. Sharon Commons and Hilda Kawuki, workers with GOAL, an Irish relief agency, were kidnapped from their compound by armed men in July. They were released after local tribal chiefs pressured their abductors. Commons told the New York Times, quote, "There were mock assassinations on a few occasions, so it was extremely scary. We were always anxious and stressed and upset until the minute we got out," unquote. We cheer the city of Puebla, Mexico, which has invested approximately $440,000 to finance 35 pink taxis, which are driven exclusively by women and for women. Taxi driver Aida Santos said, quote, "Some of the women who have been on board tell us how male taxi drivers cross the line and try to flirt with them and make inappropriate propositions. Each taxi comes equipped with a beauty kit, a GPS system, and an alarm button for emergencies." Some women's rights activists do contend, however, that the sugary presentation of the taxis doesn't address the root of the harassment problem. We cheer the fact that Kuwaiti women are now permitted to travel without their husband's consent after Kuwait's Constitutional Court overruled a 1962 passport law on October 21st. The previous law prevented women from getting a passport without their husband's approval. And cheers for the 97,000 Italian women who signed a Women Offended by the Premier appeal after Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi told politician Rosa Bindi, a member of the Democratic Party, that she was, quote, "more beautiful than intelligent." This petition breaks the silence of Italian women on Berlusconi's many sex scandals. Thank you to PepsiCo, who, after a week of heavy criticism, has decided to remove a sexist iPhone application called Amp Up Before You Score. This application promoted the company's Amp energy drink by giving men tips on picking up 24 stereotypical types of women. We cheer the way that women now represent 48% of the professional positions in the Major League Soccer office, this according to the 2009 Racial and Gender Report Card. There are now 3 female team vice presidents, an increase from 2 in 2007. About 25% of the league's female office employees are team senior administrators. This is an increase from 20.4%. And cheers for the hate crimes bill passed in the U.S. Senate, which will extend protection to people who are victims of crimes because of their sex or sexual orientation. We also cheer Colombia's Constitutional Court, which ordered a national campaign to educate young women on their sexual and reproductive rights.
We cheer the Chicago physician and women's clinic who filed a lawsuit on October 13th against an Illinois parental notification law for abortions that will go into effect on November 3rd. The law would require physicians to contact parents of girls under 18 before performing an abortion. Girls can sidestep this provision by petitioning and going before a judge. No notice is required in cases of medical emergencies, such as sexual abuse. We also cheer the city of Burlington, Vermont, which topped Self magazine's list of healthiest and happiest cities for women. The survey looked at 100 U.S. metro areas in about 50 different categories, including death and disease rates. Bethesda, Maryland ranked second, Portland, Maine third, Cambridge, Massachusetts fourth, and San Francisco, California took the fifth slot. The rankings are included in the November issue of the magazine. Now for the bad news. Two Sudanese women arrested in July were sentenced to 20 lashes and a $100 fine by a court on October 22nd for wearing indecent clothing. The women wore trousers and no headscarf at the time of their arrest. Journalist and activist Ludma Ahmed Al-Hussein said, quote, "This sentence shows that we are not equal before the judge. I will continue to fight this law," unquote. Al-Hussein was released last month after spending a day in jail. Jeers to Dr. Edward Aaron, found guilty on October 19th of poisoning his hospital secretary and mistress, Bella Prowse, in an attempt to terminate her pregnancy. The jury found Aaron guilty on two counts of attempting to administer poison. Traces of the prescription drugs were found in Prowse's body and in a cup Aaron gave her. Aaron is a married father of two and will be sentenced on November 16th. We jeer Jonathan Jansen, new rector of the University of the Free State in South Africa, for permitting four students to return to school after humiliating black cleaning women on video in 2008. Jansen said he withdrew the complaint in order to, quote, "provide a model of social justice and racial reconciliation," unquote. We jeer the fact that unsafe abortions are the leading cause of maternal death in Nigeria, where abortion is illegal. This according to Dr. Ije Oji, director of EPAS, a nonprofit women's sexual and reproductive rights organization. And jeers to the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where about 5,400 women reported being raped this year. We note that Pope Benedict is making it easier for Anglicans disaffected by the ordination of women priests and homosexual bishops to convert to Roman Catholicism. We note that the three children of Carol Ann Gottbaum, a New York City woman who strangled herself in 2007 with her shackles while in police custody at the Phoenix International Airport, have accepted a $250,000 settlement from the city of Phoenix. Gottbaum was the daughter-in-law of New York City's public advocate, Betsy Gottbaum. And finally, we note that a Swiss criminal court has rejected imprisoned film director Roman Polanski's request for bail and house arrest.
These news briefs were compiled by Kimberly St. Louis, an editorial intern at the Women's E! News. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.